Drivers running red lights can cause significant and deadly collisions on roadways. A new report from AAA Wisconsin finds that the number of deaths related to drivers running red lights has hit a 10-year high in the state. Our next guest joins us to talk about the report and how drivers, pedestrians, and bicyclists can stay safe as they're traveling. Nick Jarmus is Director of Public Affairs for AAA Wisconsin. Nick, thanks a lot for joining us today.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Well, a new report from AAA Wisconsin looks at the latest numbers we have. I think it was from 2017. What do we see going on here in the state over time when it comes to these red light collisions?
Well, what we're seeing is simply a pretty dramatic increase in the number of fatal crashes caused by red light runners. And this is not necessarily just a Wisconsin problem. Our study looked at all state data from across the country and found that this is a problem nationally as well. But Wisconsin does have one of the worst increases and largest increases in the number of these fatalities.
When we look nationwide, how big a problem, how many incidents do we see that involve fatal collisions from running red lights?
Well, nationwide in 2017, which is the most recent year that we have data available for, there were about 939 of these fatalities, and that's up from 799 back in 2008. And that increase over the last 10 years is a pattern that was replicated in pretty much all 50 states.
Now, that's, I think, a fairly small part of overall road fatalities. But the frustrating thing is, this seems like one of these really easy ones to prevent. It's pretty easy to not run a red light.
It is. And, you know, what's really discouraging is that when we do surveys every year to ask folks about which driving behaviors do they consider, you know, dangerous or unacceptable, red light running, you know, is always at the top of the list. About 90% of people say that it is dangerous, it is unacceptable to do it, and yet one out of every three in those surveys say that they have done it themselves in the last 30 days. So it's, you know, one of many examples of a do as I say, not as I do mentality when it comes to driving in America.
What are some of the factors that lead us to run that red light?
Well, we think, you know, two of the possible factors in this increase are just an overall increase in distraction and inattention behind the wheel, you know, where people are not seeing the red light or the light change. They're not paying attention to the stale greens as they approach an intersection, and that's leading them to, you know, end up either unintentionally going through the red light or going through because they didn't realize they should be stopping until it was too late, and then they end up just going through anyway. The other factor that we think plays a role is just the overall sense of impatience on the road, and we've seen an increase in a number of different what we call aggressive driving behaviors, things like excessive speeding. You know, running red lights would be one of them. Tailgating is another example of that, where people are driving very aggressively. And this is a problem that no one seems to know how to really get their hands around, because it's more of a cultural problem that we can't necessarily enforce our way out of. And so we need, you know, some strategies that can really get at these root causes that are making people very impatient behind the wheel.
Talking to Nick Jarmus, Director of Public Affairs for AAA Wisconsin, about a new report looking at people running red lights and the fatalities that result from them. Wisconsin sees a 10-year high in the most recent numbers. It's a problem, he says, nationwide. Nick, your report offers us some red light hygiene, if you will. And one of the suggestions you make for drivers involves what you just referred to, the stale green lights. This is a phrase I hadn't heard before. What do we mean by the stale green light?
Well, we know, you know, signalized intersections work on timers. And so there's going to be a cycle that the light will be green for a certain amount of time and then change to yellow and then change to red. So as you're approaching an intersection, if you're paying enough attention, you can tell how long the light has been green. And if you know, light has been green for, 30 seconds to up to a minute, depending on how that intersection is timed out. You can almost anticipate that by the time you approach the intersection, it may or would likely be changing to yellow or to red, and kind of even begin braking before the light changes or begin slowing down before the light changes in anticipation of that change coming up. But if you're distracted and you're not paying attention to the signals in the distance, then you're going to approach that intersection at full speed, and the light is going to be, you know, change from green to yellow, and you're going to end up making the determination that it would be, you know, too difficult to try to brake for it now. I'm just going to go through, and depending on how long the yellow is timed for, or where you're at in the intersection when you made that decision, it may actually change to red while you're going through, or even right before you go through.
And Nick, I think we've all been in that position of that yellow light, and it's a coin toss. Can we make it? Can we not? The tendency is to accelerate to make sure we make it. Are you hoping we tip the balance, that weight in the other direction?
Absolutely. That's one of the biggest things, is our misinterpretation of what the yellow light should be telling us to do. And one, you know, thing to consider, for folks to consider in that calculation, is that, yes, you know, if you slam on your brakes, you know, you run the risk of maybe the person behind you rear-ending you, and then you're causing a collision anyway. But a rear-end collision like that is far less likely to cause serious injuries or fatalities than an angle collision or a perpendicular collision, you know, well, would commonly call a T-bone collision, if you were to proceed through the red and end up striking cross traffic that's coming in on their green. So it actually would be safer, in a sense, to slam on the brakes and risk someone might rear-end you than to proceed through and risk that more dangerous type of crash.
Then on the side of defensive driving, your recommendations, both for drivers actually and pedestrians, is to maybe assume that other people might be getting ready to run that light that's just changed.
That's right. And, you know, another way to think of that is to not assume that the signal itself, you know, can predict that it's safe to go. So, you know, defensively looking up and saying, just because my light has changed to green doesn't inherently mean it's safe for me to go without checking. And so double check for yourself anyway before you proceed through, just in case someone is on the other side of that equation and is making the calculation to just blow through that yellow or stale green into red and risk striking them or being struck by them.
I want to pull out from the red light specific conversation, Nick, what we were talking about earlier with this rise in aggressive, impatient driving. And yeah, that seems like a head scratcher to try to solve it. But can you have a message for drivers to maybe change their state of mind a little bit?
Well, I think one of the most important things is to change people's perception of the acceptability of risk on the road. And you know, there's sometimes a very direct or an indirect way that we think of crashes and fatalities on the road is just sort of the cost of doing business, so to speak. You know, they're inevitable. They're going to happen. You know, if there's this many people on the road, it's just you're going to have so many crashes or fatalities. And that's just simply not true. I mean, crashes don't simply happen. Even with an increase in the number of people on the road, an increase in the number of miles those people are driving, that doesn't inherently mean there's going to be more crashes, because crashes, again, they don't just happen. They are caused by people making mistakes behind the wheel or making bad decisions behind the wheel. And re-embracing the concept of vision zero or zero fatalities being the goal, which it was recently announced that the state of Wisconsin is re-embracing that and is going to be relaunching that campaign here, you know, changing that paradigm to where, you know, we can and should be looking towards zero fatalities on the road being the ultimate goal. And so we don't begin to casually accept, you know, a certain number of fatalities just because that's the cost of doing this.
And very briefly, Nick, I don't think I've heard you say the word accident yet. Is that a word you avoid in this context?
It is, and over the last 15 years, I've gotten very careful about that because, you know, crashes, it's a colloquialism. And, you know, I realize most people don't think much about it when they say it, but certainly, you know, accidents are things that, you know, happen that cannot be avoided or aren't anyone's fault. And the bottom line is that every crash, you know, as difficult as it may be to say this, every crash is someone's fault. Someone has to have made a mistake. it may have been completely unintentional. It may be a matter of negligence rather than, active hostility.
And we'll leave it there. Thanks to Nick Jarmusz from AAA Wisconsin. This is Central Time on the Ideas Network.